Why are you here today? That's good. That's good. I do hope that we, I'm using that a little differently than what Brother Kenneth's message was, aren't I? I hope that our desire has been, and I think that if you were listening, I think you've already been fed this morning. I hope that we've come to feed on the Word of God, to be strengthened, so that when we leave this place, we're better equipped to live to God's glory. Now, if you're walking each day with a lively hope that you've just heard about, it'll put a spring in your step. Yeah, it will. Some folks may feel like they don't have much spring in their step left, but it'll help. It'll help. Lord, bless us for the remainder of the time this morning. I want to talk about grace. And pretty much in the same way that Brother Kenneth approached hope. That verse in Romans 15 talks about the God of hope. And how he desires that we might be filled with hope. Abundantly. Grace, if we understand grace, and this is a huge subject, and I'm just going to just take a piece of it this morning. But grace is a tremendous blessing. It's no strings attached. You know, a lot of folks talk about grace. And as we've talked about a lot of times, you know, some people use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. So a lot of times when people talk about grace, eventually they'll get to a but or something you've got to do. No, grace is grace. Unmerited favor. Bestowed upon undeserving. Isn't that where we are? Without Christ, that hopeless situation? Undeserving. In and of ourselves, we are not and never will be deserving of God's blessings. That's why I rejoice that all that we have is for Jesus' sake. Because for Jesus' sake, God has given us. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul reminds us what we are by nature and how we lived by nature. Then he says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Do you hear that? For the great love. So you see, love is over even his grace. Because it was for the great love wherewith he loved us, that even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. It's not the offer of salvation. It is salvation that God had purposed in his Son before the foundation of the world for a particular people. Now, when you say that to some people, they won't have it. When you say that there was a particular people chosen before the foundation of the world, you had nothing to do with it, you didn't have any opportunity to accept it or anything like that, that just upsets some people. Well, would you rather be God? Would you rather it be that God's in control of your salvation? Or would you rather have yourself in control of your salvation? I'd rather rest it in God's hands. Because he's a loving God. Because he's good. Because he's all powerful. And whatever he's done, he can keep it done. If you will. We mess up all the time. We don't have the mind, the understanding, the power to keep ourselves. Oh, but I rejoice in the fact that our hope is in Christ, because he came and he saved his people. He came to save, and he did save his people from their sins. And so when we think about grace, we think about what God has given to us in his Son, the salvation that we have in Jesus. But there's also an active part. There's a timely part. There's an ongoing part. And so what I want to talk about this morning is that grace for eternity and for now. I need it right now, don't you? I need grace right now. I'm thankful for all that God has done for us. I am thankful. I rejoice in what I understand about the grace of God that's given to us. Bless your hearts. The more I read his word, the more I understand that he giveth more grace. Now, not that he didn't get it done in his Son, but as we need the grace of God every day we live. All right? So, when the Apostle Paul speaks about the grace of God, and there's so many places that we could go, but it reminds me of Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 10, the psalmist said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Can't we praise God that he hath not dealt with us after our sins? Oh, now, listen, as many as I love, he says, I rebuke and chasten. Revelation 3:19. Oh, he does rebuke and chasten his children in their waywardness and their disobedience. But he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We could never pay the debt. We could never recover ourselves. We would be a hopeless case apart from the grace of God. No strings attached. Grace. Don't you love that word? Don't you love the grace of God? Amen. Paul, in writing to Timothy, when he speaks of how that Timothy ought to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That says it plainly, doesn't it? It tells us what God did of his purpose and grace that was given us in Christ before the world began. So that tells us this was settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God had purposed to send his Son to save us. This is the grace of God. According to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's purpose to send his Son. All right? We also find in 2 Timothy 2:19, when Paul is speaking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, went about preaching that the resurrection had passed and had overthrown the faith of some. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What I'm talking about when we talk about the foundation of God is his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Right. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, just like our hope. It standeth sure. God did it, and he's got the power to keep it that way. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. When anyone looks at you and thinks that somebody else can be added to the family of God, that you just got to get the gospel out to them, they've got to hear it, they've got to receive it, they've got to believe, they've got to anything so that they can be added to the number, you've got verses of scripture that clearly identify that God's family was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that foundation is sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That was inspired 2,000 years ago. It's been true from before the foundation of the world. It's still true today. It's never going to change. That's our foundation. That's the rock. But James 4 and 6 says, he giveth more grace. Not that he didn't get the job done in Christ. We need grace every day, don't we? So we've got grace for eternity that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And James tells us that he giveth more grace. Well, let me see now. Is that still unmerited favor? Yes, that's what grace is. But are we still undeserving? Yes, in and of ourselves, we are. That's why it has to be grace. Now, what we are in Christ is perfect. What we are in him is sinless. And God looks through the blood of his Son to us. But we still carry these old mortal bodies around with us. When we're born again, the old nature is not eradicated. We still have to deal with it. There's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. But he giveth more grace. And we need that every day. So I want to notice several verses where he speaks about this grace. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus, I've been quoting from Timothy. Let's go over to Titus. And before I read these verses, I want you to understand that in this chapter, Paul has been speaking to the aged men and the younger men, the aged women and younger women. He's been speaking to masters. He's been speaking to servants. And so he's going to talk about all men after this, but the context tells us that he's been talking about all manner of men. Not all men without exception, but like he's been talking about, all manner of men. All right, so in verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," bringeth salvation. Now, that salvation was wrought in the Lord Jesus Christ. But by grace, he brings it to us each day. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," all manner of men, like he's been talking about earlier in this chapter, "teaching us." You know, when we think about the grace of God, he says, "But the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So all manner of men, that is, when God quickens us and blesses us to see what he has done for us, and to see our need for him, we need to continue to see that need of him every day we live. If we ever get to the point where we don't think we need God, we're in trouble. If you're a child of God and you think, "I can handle it from here, Lord," and like Brother Kenneth was talking about the roadmap, you know, just pull it out when you feel like you're lost. No, we need the Lord every day. We need to feel our need of him every day. If we don't, we're lifted up in pride. and you're headed for, well, you're already in trouble, and you're headed for more trouble. So the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Do you know we need to be students of the gospel for as long as we live? We need to be growing. That's what Peter summed up at the end of his second epistle. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And much of that is remembrance. Peter spoke a lot in 2 Peter about stirring us up by way of remembrance. God's not going to reveal any more truth. God's not going to inspire any more books for the Bible. But there's a whole lot of things that we need to be enlightened about in what he has already inspired and what he has already revealed in his word. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesian brethren that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened might know some things and wonderful things that he was talking about there. But that's what we need every day. If we think we've arrived in the kingdom of God, I'm afraid we're going to find ourselves on the outside looking in. Because when James said he giveth more grace, let me turn to that real quick. I might not get it exactly right. He says this. But he giveth more grace. This is James 4:6. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Ooh. If God resisteth the proud, how much grace do you think he's going to give to them? How much leadership of the Spirit do you think they're going to find? If God resisteth the proud, he says, but giveth grace unto the humble. So each day, we should humbly approach it and say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your word. I need your spirit. I need to be reminded of all of the grace that's been given to us through Christ Jesus, the salvation that we have, redemption through his blood, eternal security, the hope that is sure and steadfast and entereth into the veil, that someday we're going to be there by your grace. I need to remember that every day, don't you? I need to remember what God's done for me. I need to remember what he's taught me in his word that tells me how I need to live my life, because that's what's going to have the tremendous impact on how much joy and peace we'll have each day. Without the Lord, it's a struggle, and there's not any peace, and there's not any joy, and sometimes we find ourselves in that condition and we realize, I've left the Lord behind. Now, I know we're never out of his hand, but in our mind, we can sure leave him behind, can't we? And we need him every day. So what does the grace of God teach us? He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness. There's plenty of ungodliness around us. And if you're not careful, that kind of smut will rub off on you. Elder J.W. Hartley. A few of you might have known Elder J.W. Hartley over in Georgia. He used to tell a little story about oftentimes his wife and children couldn't go with him to church, either on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, and he said he always had his wife always made him his shirts nice and clean, white shirts, and pressed them real good. And when he would come home, he says, oftentimes his little boys would be out playing in the mud puddle, just covered from head to toe with mud. And he says those little fellas, when he'd get out of the car, they'd make a beeline right to him, arms stretched out. And he said, you know exactly what I had to do. I just had to grab those little fellows in my arms. But you said, you know, he said, none of my cleanness ever rubbed off on their dirt. He said, that mud always rubbed off on my clean white shirt. Denying ungodliness. We just have to do that, brethren. If we remember all that God's done for us, if we remember all that Jesus suffered in our room and said, because he loved us so much, he had mercy upon us and bestowed grace upon us in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins, that we could be with him. Remembering the grace of God will help us to deny ungodliness. And then he talks about teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. What is that? Well, you know what that is. But do we really? Worldly lusts. You know, there's some things the scripture teaches that we ought not to lust after. You know, there's a whole lot of sexual sins. I hate to even talk about things like that from the pulpit, but we need to in our day. There's a lot of sexual sins that we need to put away or not have any part of. All right? But, and that's true. That's part of these worldly lusts, and there's things, and that's embraced in that. But there's other little subtle things that maybe we don't think about that we also should deny. Lusting for the things of this world. You know, I think Jesus called it mammon, didn't he? The things that are in this world. And he said you can't serve two masters. So if we're not denying these worldly lusts, we're trying, and if we're still trying to say we love Jesus and we want to follow him, then we're trying to do two things that are opposed. Now, I'm not saying you can't have the things of this world. I'm talking about denying our affections and thanksgiving and praise and worship of God in pursuit of those things. Let's remember what the Lord's done for us. We have to have those things to make our way in this world. We understand that, and God knows that. That's why he didn't say, seek ye only the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but seek ye first. Make it a priority to worship God and seek his face and his loving kindness and the things that he would have us to do first. Then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a matter of how we go about it. But the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. It's interesting how the Spirit inspired that. We should. Because sometimes we don't. But we need to remember. It'll do us good to remember that we should. Because when we don't, there's consequences, right? Thankfully, eternal salvation rests in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That aspect of grace is finished. It's complete. We don't need anything more added to that. But when James says he giveth more grace, and when we're talking here from Titus chapter 2, we know that there's things that we need on a daily basis. And God is so pleased when we humble ourselves before him, when we seek his face, when we seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's so pleased to continue to give us more supplies of his daily grace. I love that aspect of it too, don't you? Because I need the grace of God every day. I rest in the finished work of Christ. I rest in the fact that we have that grace that will never change. I don't care how bad I mess up in this world, that will never change. But I need grace each day. And I can turn and walk the ways of this world and not enjoy those fresh supplies of His grace. Now, thankfully, like I said, we're never out of His hand. But there's a way that we can approach God and humble ourselves before Him each day and worship Him and learn of Him. And as Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And the grace of God teaches us to deny some things so that we can live soberly. That's with a clear thinking. Soberly. Obviously, it's free from those things that would separate us from our senses, substances that people might take in, but clear thinking. You know, when our mind is set upon this world and so much of the things of this world that we're grasping for and pursuing, and our mind just gets clouded. We don't have peace. We don't have contentment. We don't have joy. But when we're seeking the Lord and the leadership of His Holy Spirit, it gives us clarity of thinking. There's a peace there. There's a contentment. Even with contentment, we can still work toward things, but it's with a settled spirit and a clear mind. We should live soberly. And then He says, righteously. Well, here's the definition of a righteous life. It's found right here. Oh no, you're not going to find page 479 with five simple steps for peace today. We like those short things. You know, we like to cut through the chat. We like that. A lot of folks want a 10-minute sermon, you know. I haven't learned that yet. You know that. But bless your hearts, this word. Listen, this word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And I promise you, I believe I'm on safe ground to promise you that if you are praying that God would give you guidance, you can open up this word and you can start reading. Now, I'm not going to promise you that in every book of the Bible you're going to find that, but the Spirit can lead you to what you need as you're studying His word. And His word is so deep that He can open up thoughts to you. When you're praying and when the Spirit is blessing you, He can show you how some of these principles can apply to what you need in your life, and you may never have realized that that principle was really involved. We need it. We need the preached word, but we also need to be reading the written word. And we need the leadership of the Spirit each day to guide us into all truth. We need that. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. If we know the right principles, then we need to apply those right principles to our life. So that we're doing what we know. A lot of times we come short on that, don't we? We know a lot of things, but how much comes through? How much godliness comes through our footsteps? Remember that saying about we should preach the gospel everywhere we go, and if necessary, use words. Let your footsteps, let your choices, let your words, let your affections, let your checkbook show who you're serving. Godliness. Putting it into practice. Letting the light shine. Applying what we know. from the grace of God. We need that every day. Every day we need that. Hebrews chapter 13. Time's about gone. Hebrews 13. Brother Kenneth spoke about now the God of hope. Well, Hebrews tells us something different. Let me see. Yeah. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I love to think about this everlasting covenant. We spoke about it earlier without really naming it, how that God chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knows them individually. He sent his Son to save us. Jesus shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. We're kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. We're secure in that everlasting covenant. Secure. But he says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. These daily supplies of God's grace we need, as he says in verse 21, to make us perfect. Not that we're in sinless perfection, but that we're mature and capable of doing these good works, okay? Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior so that we can do his will in a more perfect way. So that we can deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. So he says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We need the grace of God to do that. We need it each day. And we need to humbly see the proud he knows afar off. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now, I turned away from Titus, but I want to go back to Titus chapter 2 in closing. After he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, verse 13 he says, and we'll get back to Brother Kenneth's subject, looking for that blessed hope. Not looking for that blessed wish. No, this is a person. This is a successful person. This is one who's all victorious in everything the Father sent him to do, perfect in every way, satisfying the will of the Father in what he was sent to do. He's coming back. Looking for that blessed hope. And, or even, the glorious appearing of the great God. Oh yes. He's God. He's Emmanuel. God with us. Just because he went back into heaven doesn't mean he's not still with us, because his spirit is in us. But he's coming back to get all that he paid for. And when he paid the redemption price, he paid for all the sins of all of his people. He redeemed us. We are reconciled to God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Not a strange people, a special people. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's why we need the grace of God each day. That we might be zealous of good works. That we might be reminded of what Jesus did for us, what we have in him. And bless your hearts, that he might be there to lead us and guide us in the forefront of our mind. Okay? Not that we'd leave him home, but that he would be in the forefront of our mind each day. We need the grace of God. Thankful for eternal redemption and blessings in Christ that we can never be separated from. But still, each day, we need the feeling of his presence, the grace that teaches us how we're to live our lives, the grace that teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We need grace every day. How about you? May God bless you, is our prayer.